iHeart Podcast.
To another episode of Widow's Parenting. I'm Peter McNerney.
And I'm Beth Newell.
And stop the presses, hold the phone. We need to talk about this right now, Beth. What? Our live show is coming up next week.
We need to talk about this right now. Yeah, it's really sneaking up on us.
All right, stop listening to the show and go buy yourself a ticket, because that's priority one.
People. Whoa. Did you buy a ticket to our live show at Littlefield in New York City on the 23rd?
It's a Tuesday night. You're not doing anything. Get a babysitter. You know, when did you last give yourself a night out?
This is about you.
It's not even about us. You know what? We don't care. I mean, we want to help you. So to get a babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
Buy a ticket, weknowsparenting.com. Click on live appearances, buy a ticket.
Put your hair up.
Oh my gosh.
Walk the streets.
Comb your beard. Walk the streets. Go to a show, have a drink, and laugh with us.
Remember the taste of alcohol. Remember laughter. Remember
life.
Public life. Okay.
And remember that Chuck Bryant from Stuff You Should Know, you know, one of the most famous podcasts of all time, he's going to be there. He's flying to New York to do this show. Did you know that, Beth?
I did know that. Yeah, I know that we asked him to do the show.
We asked him to do the show because we're like, well, let's start at the top of the list. He won't say yes. And then he said, when is it?
We were like, him? He would never.
He lives in Atlanta.
The most famous podcast that ever lived, as you just said.
I don't know if people know this, but the Stuff You Should Know TV show that happened 8 years ago, I was a regular cast member on that show, and that's how I met Chuck Bryan, and how any of this happened, and why you know us now because of that. So what a glorious man. And he said, I'll be there.
You'll finally get to see the man who made it all happen in the flesh.
It's true.
On stage. We also have Ophir Eisenberg from NPR's Ask Me Another.
What a gem.
We have
what a treat.
Abby Crutchfield, you know, from TBS, True TV. Am I getting this wrong? Comedy Central. She's been on all the TV.
She's been on way more TV than I have. And that's not saying all that much, but it's a lot more, which is saying much. All they're going to be on stage, we're going to be funny, and everyone has kids.
Our point is, the show is going to be more entertaining than this because we'll be prepared for it.
You want to talk about why this episode we're recording is atypical, Beth, besides starting with the plug for that show?
Yeah.
But that's weknowsparenting.com. Click on live appearances for tickets.
So we're not recording at a normal time, which is usually the very last minute before we have to turn in the podcast.
We're recording 3 days early.
We're recording in a different last minute because I'm about to fly out of town for the week.
You're going to the Los Angeles, huh?
Yeah. That's what we call it.
Yeah, isn't that what people say?
So you're going to be alone with the kids for a week.
I'm not scared until I lose my mind, and then I'll be scared.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have some help coming, right? You've got some babysitters.
The babysitter's coming tomorrow, but I couldn't get one so I'm just going to get a sub for one of my classes this week, and I'm just going to be home for all the rest of the week and hope I don't get auditions.
Yeah, well, the Lord will provide, I think.
Yes, if there's one thing we believe, it's that our Lord and Savior, he who shall not be named.
If there's one thing I'll say is everything has always gone right for us in the past, and I can't expect that to change.
Saturday night is a different vibe recording than last minute Monday night.
It's kind of, I don't know. It's like my body feels extra very much like it should be in bed right now because it's, I have a flight in the morning.
It's 11:30.
It's 11:30. I'm getting into like a delirious point, and it's really making me question like my choice to do this. Like, cause part of me is like really applauding myself for talking right now and being awake. And then part of me is like, is that entertaining at all for the people I'm doing this
with? Like, you're the one that remembered we had to do this, and this was your idea, and I'm shocked.
I know. Well, I was like shocked that I proposed it. I'm shocked that we've gone through with it.
Were you more shocked that you proposed it or that I proposed to you on a snowy mountainside in 2009? You were not. Were you, how surprised were you when I proposed?
I was surprised in the moment, but it wasn't like, oh, this would never happen.
Yeah,
like,
because you were sending me engagement ring links.
Yeah. Anyway.
I, on the other hand.
Were you surprised when you proposed to me?
Yeah, I was like, I was not planning this at all.
Where did this ring come from? Oh, the link she sent me. I guess I went and bought it.
You know what? Let's tell that story in a bit because we have nothing planned because this is
well,
last minute.
Let's make this our engagement
story. The engagement story.
Everyone loves an engagement story because it's so fascinating that someone planned to do something.
I think it was a pretty good story. I got the ring. You were joining our family for a vacation after Christmas.
Yeah. Should we talk about our kids on this parenting podcast?
You're right. There's no kids involved.
Okay. To catch up on this week, this half of a week, tonight, you were gone.
Well, I just want to say, I do a really excellent two-man improv show almost every Saturday night for the past 10 years called Trike.
There's so many asides in this episode.
Well, I drank a Red Bull before the show, and I did a two-man hour-long show for a packed house, and I'm jazzed. Then I get in the car and I come home and I can never go home.
Okay, but can I interrupt you back after we keep interrupting each
other? Yeah, I just
want
to let everyone know why I'm like, and I'm going to keep interrupting you, but I'm going to try not to. There, okay. I'm done. It's yours. Take it.
This episode will have no direction whatsoever. What I was going to say, you were gone. Our kids, I was putting them to bed, doing a pretty good job of it. They were exhausted because we finally got outside for once. It was a beautiful day
spring
in New York. And I think everyone was just really tired from getting outside, myself included. And they were going to bed. And then at the last minute when Bryn was like getting into bed, he just slammed his head against the side of the bed and like cut his lip open. And then it was like, I could tell it wasn't going to be that bad, but just like one of those mouth injuries that like bleeds really fast and hard for a minute before it's like totally fine.
You have blood all over his bed?
So he had, not really. His mouth was filling with blood.
Yeah.
And I was getting a paper towel and he was just, it was like, I have to like dab it up. Otherwise he's going to like swallow it and get a stomach ache or something. But then he had to see a paper towel covered in blood. So he was just kind of like freaking out.
Yeah. They haven't had much blood experience.
No. And he was kind of freaking out afterwards and he's like, it still hurts. And I had to tell him to like stop touching it. And then he was like, he like was crying like he couldn't fall asleep. And I was like talking to him about it. I was like, it's scary, right? When you're seeing all that blood. He was like, yeah. It's just clearly he couldn't let it go. I ended up having to give him some like children's Tylenol as like a placebo effect.
Yeah. It makes me think, in those moments, I'm sometimes like, maybe I can redirect this fear into solving a problem of mine later. Because in my mind, I'm like,
on our children.
Yeah, this hurts, right? Yeah.
Well,
imagine if you open the car door into the street and a car hit you and you bled more because he keeps opening the door.
He did a similar thing Thursday night. He was like,
I wouldn't do that though.
He was kicking Maven in the tub or something and she was really tired and I was like, he's going to make her freak out. So I was like, you have to get out of the tub. So I took him out and then he threw a massive tantrum and in me trying to hold him down from like kicking me and stuff while he's like slippery and wet, he couldn't like kick me or punch. So then he decided the best way to get revenge would be to slam his head into the ground. And he just
this
like
is a full tantrum you're talking about.
Yeah. But like, I mean, it was carpeted and everything, but like he just slammed his head into the ground and then immediately regretted it because his head hurt so bad. He started crying.
Well,
and I was like,
it was a stupid thing to do.
I was like, well, that's why we don't hit things. Like we don't hit each other. We don't slam into things. I was like, it hurts, right? And he's like, yeah.
The teachable moment.
It did feel like a very applicable teachable moment.
It's great when you can connect an action with a consequence that they understand.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, anytime I try to explain to him, this is dangerous because of this, it's not sticking.
Yeah, and he really surprisingly hasn't been injured that much, like, even though he's kind of a maniac.
Because I don't take him outside ever.
It's true.
It's not true, but it's more true than it should be.
It's partially true.
It is. Can I tell you something really funny that happened this week that I wrote down? I thought it was so weird. But indicative of the digital age in which these kids have lived. Maven, we're in the kitchen where your desk is, and our printer is in there. And she started futzing with, like, the touch screen on the printer.
Mm-hmm.
And she hit something that caused the printer to just start spitting out blank pieces of paper.
Uh-huh.
Like, 7 or 8 before I got to it.
Yeah.
And first of all, she starts laughing hysterically.
They've done this to me before.
I'm just like, what, this? And then I started grabbing the paper. I was like, you're wasting all this paper. And I forget exactly what she said. She's like, Bryn, look at all these doctor's notes.
That's what they did the last time when they figured this out. They figured out how to make it keep spitting out paper. I was getting annoyed, and they kept chanting, doctor's notes, doctor's notes. And they thought they must have seen one of us, like, print out a doctor's note for them.
Well, I'm just thinking about it. You know, whenever they go to urgent care, the doctor, or I get a doctor's note faxed to us.
I can't believe she remembered that,
though. Well, recently when I took her, that you grab that piece of paper and you said, this is the doctor's note. And then you go to the daycare and you hand them, you say, this is the doctor's note. And she just thinks, I'm talking about the paper. Paper is called a doctor's note.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
But Bryn was like, oh, yeah, doctor's notes. And it's also, they don't see paper in that context. I guess they
don't see a lot of paper.
They draw, I guess.
They draw. I was realizing recently we could do much more drawing with them. Like, that is a relaxing activity.
I was doing math with Bryn today, where he was doing back to me what I did to him, which is he holds up, like, 9 fingers. And he goes, what's 9 plus 1? And then you add a finger and say 10. And then he goes an 8 and goes, 8, what's 8 plus 2? And it's 10. And it's all the variations equaling 10.
Yeah.
And I did not think he cared when I was doing this before. But then he did it all back to me. And I was really impressed when he got near. Anyway, so I started showing him math on paper. And he was into it for a while. And then I could feel I'm like, okay, I'm losing him. And then it just turned into drawing. And did you just see his snail spirals drawings?
Yeah. They're both getting a lot better at drawing.
He's a right-handed kid.
Hmm. Interesting. So here's a funny story I wanted to tell.
I'm going to chew ice while you're telling this story.
So we took the kids to get ice cream last night after dinner because we can't seem to get them to dinner without them trying to run into one of the 10 ice cream frozen yogurt places on the block.
Yeah, well, we had to run by the one that just closed in order to get to the new one that opened across the street.
They just constantly keep shutting down, and then someone opens a new one. There's just so many.
They're all so bad.
Then I like this new one.
The ice cream was like crystallized.
Well, you made a weird choice.
Peanut butter cookie dough?
Yeah, the peanut butter part was weird.
The ice cream.
The cookie dough ice cream I got was good. Anyway, we're taking them to get ice cream, and I was kind of half joking with Bryn that we weren't going to get ice cream. And I was like, I don't know, are you sure? Blah, blah, blah. And he turned to me, and he was like, you remember I love you, right? It's like, but remember I love you?
And to his credit, that worked.
It's it. Well, I was already going to take him to get ice cream, but he also today, I was telling him something. Oh, we're going to get haircuts. And I was like, if you get a haircut, you might get a lollipop after. And he said, don't say maybe. He was like, he's basically like, I need a
solid
clear
commitment from you,
promise
right now,
that there's going to be a lollipop involved.
That is so funny. Oh my God. So while we were at the barbershop, by the way, we called them, made an appointment. Like, you can come 15 minutes. And then we show up, and there's one woman working and a kid who's halfway done and another kid waiting in line. And I was like, this, we ended up getting there at 3:45. Like, why'd you give this appointment?
Yeah, that was kind of annoying. And that's why
awkwardly intimate in there with not enough music.
It was like, it's just not a good place to sit. I'm really glad that I left and took a little walk with Maven and got a lemonade.
Yeah.
Because if I had just been sitting there, I would have been very angry.
So I had a phone call while you were in there.
Yeah.
And one of my best friends in the whole world, Matt Sachs, out in LA, just had twins. Less than a month old. It was great to talk to him. Good God. You remember when we had a 20-month-old and a newborn baby and we thought this is insane?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Can you imagine doing that like at the same time? Same
well,
age?
I think twins, I'm not saying it's easier, but like they're at least sort of on the same schedule. When you have a toddler and a newborn, it's uh-oh, just so chaotic. Like,
well, here's the thing. Here's what I've learned talking today is that that's the thing. If you get them in sync, you're good. But if it gets a little out of sync, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
Because suddenly there is no time to sleep.
Yeah. I mean, if you have twins, you really need help. Like in the first month or two, like especially like I feel like you either need to hire someone if you can afford it or have like a family member move in or something because it's just, I can't imagine.
Well, so Matt, you know, when they take a lot of turns, and so they're breastfeeding, but they're also bottle feeding, breast milk. And so but he's in charge, he can only feed one at a time. And so like he's trying to figure out that he has to do one of them 15 minutes ahead of the other one in whatever they're doing. And he's like, we go through 24, sometimes 24 diapers in a day. You know that like newborn where you just like,
yeah,
constantly,
they're just constantly
changing diapers. And I was so excited for my good friend to be a parent and to like talk about stuff that I've experienced. And then, but I was also just sort of getting so stressed.
I really like, I would be happy to never have to take care of a newborn again, like in my whole life. It's just, oh God, it's so exhausting.
You know, it was a really good step in our relationship.
What?
Was not having a newborn anymore.
Yeah.
It was good. Now it's time for We Don't Knows. This is where we unpack a parenting struggle or question or confusion. This is a little one. It's not a big deal, but it really stuck with me. This happened today. You were there. You'll recall. Maven is about to turn 3. May 1st.
She's really moved into tantrum mode in the last week or two.
Well, I'm remembering, you know, I hear terrible twos. And we didn't have any terrible twos, really. But I remember Bryn turning 3, and I had the thought, like, oh, this is worse than 2.
Yeah. Well, because he was exhausting as a 2-year-old, but he was in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 came along, and it's just, it feels like a hormonal thing. Like, there, it feels like you can see in Maven's eyes, like, she has no control over what's happening. She's just riding a wave of emotion.
It's like a preview of adolescence.
Yeah.
Where when a child becomes a teenager, all these chemicals enter their brain that tell them to get away from their parents. So, you know, the cave babies.
Well, she's looking for some sort of sense of control, you know?
Right. And a similar thing happens. You're 3 and you suddenly have this agency and this intelligence and these communication skills.
Yeah, you're
skills,
like, hey, I'm huge.
And you're asserting your dominance over that which you can.
Yeah.
And so she's doing it.
She's also like, it's kind of frustrating because she's like a much smarter 3-year-old than Bryn was in the sense that she has an older sibling who's like,
boy,
taught her how to sneak things.
Can we just talk about the fact that you've clearly picked a favorite child?
No, I said in the sense that she has an older sibling. Did you listen to the words I said?
I made an assumption based off the first word, based on a pattern,
okay,
and then I stopped listening.
Listen to what I'm saying. She has lived with an older sibling is my point.
Okay,
she's picked
fair.
Up a lot of tricks.
You're
she's
right.
Like, she's on to us in a lot of ways. She's following, like, how do you manipulate people?
You're
like,
100% right. So tonight, I don't know how it started, but she was tired, overexcited, and then didn't nap. And so she sat down to eat, and then she was like, no, and she left for... Oh, no, I remember what happened. So she was hitting the chair against the table, and it was making a loud noise.
Yeah. And that's why it feels so hormonal to me, because I was playing with her in the other room. She couldn't have been in a better mood. Then she just got tired and had to stand up to go to dinner, and I think that was enough to just make her so, like, angry.
So she's hitting the chair against the table, and it's really loud, and you're like, Maven, stop. And so then I held her arms, and she looked up at me, and I... practicing what I've gotten much better at, which is I'm showing her as little aggression or emotions as I possibly can. I'm like giving her warmth. I'm like, we can't do that. That's loud, right? Okay. You want to sit up on the chair? And she gave me this, like, looked out of the top of her eyes with this burning look of she despised me.
She has such evil eyes.
When she looks at you that way, it really hurts your feelings. So I picked her up to put her in the chair, and then she started screaming, and I was like, okay. And then she got down. I was like, all right, but don't hit that chair. You're going to have some alone time or go to your room. And then she looked me right in the eyes and did it again. So I go, okay. Picked her up, took her to her room, and I was like, this is going to be bad. It's going to take a while. Put her in her bed, closed the door, and she stayed there for a while. And then she came out, and I go, all right. She saw Bryn had taken her seat and then lost it.
Yeah.
And then she finds a box full of paints and pulls it onto the ground. And I go, okay, you need some more alone time. And I put her in her room.
And then she just kept coming out and trying to knock the paints down.
But when she opened the door, and I'm sitting down, and I look at her with a, like, I try to give her a, oh, are you feeling better? You want to join us for dinner? And then I saw her look at me and, like, look at the box that she'd pulled on the ground twice now. And then look at me, and I was like, oh, I'm going to get up to stop her. And she sprints so shockingly fast and legitimately beat me to the box and yanked it onto the ground and then looked up at me like, and it reminded me sort of like Rey from Star Wars, who that character is like always has like action-ready physicality. And she's simultaneously looking at me with terror and defiance in her whole body, like ready to run, but also holding her ground. And I pick her up and put her back in. And she did that another time. She beat me there. And then I sat in the room, blah, blah, blah. And it ended up being okay. But it was like she was in this mode of like, I am defying you.
Yeah.
And she's this, like, is my mission.
It seems something has clicked on in her brain where she's like, oh, I can do these things. Like she today, like, so the hairdresser was like spraying water in her hair and she was like, this is weird. You could tell she was like, what's going on? And then she came home and she just went in to the kitchen sink and started splashing water all over her hair and like head.
Her hair was all wet.
I was like, what? And then later she went back and did it again, but she put like hand soap in her hair. And I was like, what is going on? But
she's just learning beauty tips.
She's just getting into like everything in a way that's just like, oh my God. She clearly is just like ready to pounce right now.
As she was scrubbing her hands with her toothbrush after Bryn was cleaning a rock with her toothbrush.
Oh, yeah. Her toothbrush is on the floor now, by the way, so...
Toothbrushes are disgusting.
Yeah. Well, she took it out and she had it in a glass of water and she was playing with that for a long time and, like, then she started brushing the table with it and I was like, this is disgusting. I think that toothbrush is ready to be thrown out.
Well, good thing they have, like, 5 toothbrushes and every time... The one thing, so brushing teeth, do you brush our kids' teeth? Because I'm very good at making sure they brush their teeth.
I'm not consistent, but I know you're better than me and you do it most nights.
That's fine.
I just sometimes feel like I just gave them a bath. I'm putting diapers
what
and
percentage
pajamas.
Of them need to be clean? But here's the thing.
There's so many steps to bedtime.
I never give them a bath. Never.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I have improved on 0%. But I do brush their teeth every night. And they've stopped fighting me. But now Maven will only have her teeth brushed if I sit on the lip of the tub and she lays down on my legs and then she leans her head back so it's pointed downward at a 45-degree angle. She goes, I want to lay on you. But I tell you, it's really easy to brush a kid's teeth when they're at that angle.
Wow.
And Bryn will do it, and then sometimes he thinks it's real funny to bite the toothbrush I can't brush. And it's real annoying. So here's my question, listeners. Have we ever asked deliberately for advice from our listeners?
Yeah, we have.
Oh, I'm going to do it now. Do you have a defiant 3-year-old, or have you, or a 2-year-old, or a 5-year-old, or any other age there is? And how do you diffuse that level of defiance? Do you have a tactic, or how badly have you ever failed? That's what I want to hear about. I want to hear about your failures, because we're sharing ours. Tell us how bad of a parent you are, and we'll share some good ones. Because we don't know.
This next segment is called Would You Knows. It's where we present each other with a parenting hypothetical.
So, this hypothetical, Beth, comes to us from regular listener and contributor. I think this might be the third email we have read of hers, from Allison.
I only read emails from Allison.
Yeah, it's real creepy. You stalk her. It's not true, Allison. But we do love you. Scenario number
Keep
two.
Keep sending us the emails, Allison.
Scenario number two. There was another scenario, but I picked two. It's present day, and Bryn has a favorite movie and knows every single line and the way every character sounds and acts out the lines as well. For an entire year, he only speaks lines from the movie he loves. For you guys, this would be kind of like learning a new language because you've had to figure out what Bryn means when he says certain lines. For example, if his favorite movie is Aladdin, then instead of saying good morning, he wakes up and he says, 10,000 years will give you such a crick in the neck, in the exact way the genie says it in the movie. Or instead of saying, I'm hungry, he says, just a little snack, guys. Just a little snack, guys. Is that the line?
Yeah.
Boy, yeah.
It's the older fat ladies there. Are we?
No, then she says, but I think he's rather tasty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, somebody sent me a text during that and I accidentally clicked on it. Here we go. I'm back. You know there is no stopping this, but you also know that he will only speak this way for 1 year and then return to completely normal speech. Would you become really familiar with the movie and speak to him in quote unquote his language? Would you just learn what he means when he says certain things and speak to him the way you always would? Would you tell Maven and others at school /daycare/skating, ice skating, etc.? Also, if you could pick, do you have a preference of what movie you would want it to be? That's all from me today. Thank you guys for always making my Tuesdays great. Keep up the good work, Allison.
I mean, I think we just get rid of him. This hypothetical sounds incredibly annoying.
We're having very different reactions to
really?
This.
Oh, God.
I love this. For a whole year?
No,
maybe that's a bit much.
Oh God. This is the thing is like men love just repeating jokes over and over again.
This was
and
my entire place in the social order in sixth grade was how well I knew every word to Ace Ventura.
Yeah. I mean, it's so annoying to listen.
I mean, I grew out of that. I agree with you now. Improv really, really destroys the joy of repeating things. Not really. I still repeat things all the time.
I mean, It's
but lines from movies.
It's funny in moderation, or like occasionally. I just the person who nonstop is quoting things is not a tolerable person to be around.
A like 15-year-old doing that, yeah, but a 4-year-old going, "Somebody stop me!"
I would be tired of the movie by hour two. I'd be like, "Oh yeah, okay, we get it."
But I would much rather have 4-year-old do this than anybody else. It would be less annoying than.
I think the novelty would wear off so quickly.
Oh yes, it would stop being cute, funny, or annoying, and it would start to get like we need to actually communicate with him.
We, so we need to find a doctor. Language. We need.
Okay, so there's a few questions in here we need to answer. One is,
do we watch the movie? No way. No way am I trying to speak more of that movie out loud in my own home.
Well, it's so that you can understand what he means. You got to learn the source material to be able to interpret. I mean, if it's Aladdin, boy, we don't need to watch that movie. We know every line.
Yeah, I don't need to watch any of them.
Okay, well, if you had to pick what the movie was that he only spoke in, would it? What Hugh Grant movie would it be?
Well, honestly, it would be really funny if he was just quoting like Pride and Prejudice all the time. Like that would be funnier because the comments would actually be like insightful jokes, and I would be like, "Oh, yeah." Like
"Good morning, Mr. Darcy." At breakfast. That would take you a lot longer to get sick of that than like if it was The Mask.
Well, and the miniseries is like many hours long.
You get a lot more dialogue in this. There's more variety.
Yeah, The Mask would be so annoying. I also do think like any British movie would be more fun because he's just like a British person for a year.
How about Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet?
No.
There's just more words in there than any other movie.
Does he still do it in his like upbeat voice? Because then maybe that's funny.
Well, it's still Bryn doing Shakespeare is incredible. The forward violet, thus did I shine.
But I think if it was a tragedy.
Whence did thou steal thy sweet dead smells, if not from my love's breath? Good morning, mother.
Okay, we get it.
You don't know Sonnet 99? Come on.
There's a sonnet that says, "Good morning, mother"?
Everything I said except for "Good morning, mother" is from that sonnet.
Okay.
I tacked it on in a way that broke the rules of the whole concept.
I didn't know what was happening.
I still don't. So what's the movie? What
listeners,
movie? What movie, Beth?
What's better, the sonnets or the plays? Let us know.
It's time we finally decided. What's the real the real jam?
Would you rather your toddler was into the sonnets? Or the tragedies or the comedies?
I'm going to say histories.
The histories?
Yeah.
I don't get the histories. Like, who cares?
You didn't love Anthony and Cleopatra?
I don't remember, like, any of the details of the histories.
Richard III is the only one I remember. That's a good one. Now is the winter of our discontent, made glorious summer by the sun of York. That's all I remember, baby. My horse, my kingdom for a horse.
Okay, so I guess we're both on the same page that we would pick, of any movie, we would pick one of Shakespeare's plays to answer your question.
Well, you know what? I might pick that just because if Bryn memorized all of Hamlet, you're learning something about language.
You just got into college, baby.
You got iambic pentameter down.
Totally relevant to today's world.
Yeah.
Job markets.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't pick my movie.
I guess I thought you were picking Hamlet.
Maybe I do pick Hamlet. You know why? Because then I would know Hamlet. I wish I knew all of Hamlet. I would bring that up way too much and rub it in people's noses. I just quoted all the Shakespeare I know.
I prefer the comedies. It's like with anything else. I just can't I can't consume drama for extended periods of time.
That's fair. Now that we have phones, I can't. But I used to really dig into the heavy, slow movies. I don't think I'm capable of that anymore.
It's fine occasionally. I just like, that can't be like all of the media I consume. It's exhausting.
But we hardly ever do.
I have kids.
It's true. You know what makes movies so good?
What?
Kids. Because you're just thinking, thank God I'm watching a movie. This never happens.
Thank God my kid's not here.
Boy.
My stupid kid.
You know those two mistakes that we made? Oh, blee. Well, Allison.
I hope we did a good job not really answering your question.
Well, the other part was, would we engage in it? I would learn the language that he spoke, and I would enjoy it, and it would drive you insane.
Yeah, I'd be like, me and Maven are going on a trip for a little while. You guys enjoy yourselves.
And yeah, you'd move to LA with Beth for the year, or with Maven for the year.
Yeah.
And Brynn and I would have the time of our lives.
Yeah. Maven and I would just drink wine, lay on the beach.
You're giving our daughter wine.
Yeah.
You're a bad mom.
We retired.
Did you say we were tired?
Or I said we retired.
What's the difference? We retired, a.k.a. we retired. And now it's time for a very special segment that I recorded because Beth is now left town. We recorded all the rest of that episode before she left, and then she left. And now here it's Monday night, and I decided it would be cute and fun to interview the kids. So I did that. But I did it right before bedtime. And they were on. They were funny. And then I realized I never plugged in any of the sound equipment into my computer. So they recorded straight to the laptop internal microphone. But I'm going to play it anyway, because it was fun, but it sounds like garbage. So just have fun picturing me being an idiot who's talking into a microphone that's not recording anything. This segment is called, Do You Know What They Said?
And now it's time for Do You Know What They Said? And this is where we talk about something that our kids have talked about. And in fact, because Beth is out of town, I have a very special guest. It's 4-year-old Brynn McKerney. Brynn, say hello.
Hello.
Brynn, how are you doing?
Good.
Now, Mama has left. She's gone all the way to California. Do you miss her yet?
Yes.
Yeah? She's only been gone for one day. Do you still miss her?
Yes.
Okay. Maven, do you miss Mommy? You going to join the interview? All right, come up here. Sit up here.
Okay. I'm going to sit on your lap, too.
Okay, welcome to the podcast, Maven McKerney. Say hi, Maven. Okay, now Mommy has gone to California. Do you miss her? Yes, you do. She's gonna be
What's
gone.
What's in your mouth? Nothing. Okay. Can I
eat some food? You're being interviewed. You gotta wait a second, then you can eat some food. Why are you wiggling out? I'm trying to interview you. Oh, come on.
Not yet.
I have questions. Oh, boy. Now we're screaming. Why are we screaming? Come here. Come here. Come here. All right. Tell me what just happened. Why is Nathan crying?
Just because nothing.
Just because nothing? What's in your mouth?
Pasta.
Did that come out of Maven's bowl?
No.
Maybe she's crying because you stole her food?
No.
Spring.
Because nothing.
Oh, okay. Can I ask you? Is this cold? I don't know.
Three.
All right. So should we do our journal?
Cold, Daddy.
I don't know what you're talking
That's
about, Maven. So I don't
Is
know
that
if it's
nine?
Cold.
Is that nine?
Oh, your food? I don't know. All right. We're looking at August 9th. We already did that. This is your journal. I have a April 10th question.
What is it? Can I see when it's August?
I'm trying to ask you a question.
Can I see when it's 8
You're skipping ahead to August. There's August. See it? Now, but the question is, Bryn, into the microphone, what have you done lately to help the planet? Well, that's a pretty weighty question.
Fart.
Normally, I don't accept. Maven, did you say you have to go potty?
Did you say that you have to go?
Okay, we're gonna take a potty break. Hold on.
Potty break. Fart, 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 fart.
Have you been saying that the whole time that I stopped?
Fart.
Okay, well, you know what the rule is when we do the journal is you're only allowed to say fart once. You already said it for how? What have you done for the planet lately? All right, April 11th. How much do you think these things cost?
20.
You didn't even hear what the things are yet. How much money do you think it costs to buy a gallon of milk?
$20.
Yeah. Okay, that's not insane. I mean, it is, but not insane guess for a four-year-old. How much do you think it costs to buy a car?
Like $100.
$100? It's a good deal. You know what? Do you know that tomorrow I'm literally going to go in and buy the car that we got because Maven was born in a Honda? It's going to cost more than $100. All right. How about your shoes? How much do you think shoes cost?
$2,100.
$2,100. Those are some nice shoes. All right, April 12th. When do you think, can you think of a time where you felt left out? Do you know what that means?
I don't know.
Left out, it's like everyone's playing, but I didn't get to play. I feel left out.
No, you never feel left out
because everyone likes playing with you?
Yeah.
Maven, what are you doing? You got a spoon in your mouth.
I think she's farting.
Okay, all right, April 13th. What is your favorite season and why? Do you know what seasons are?
What?
Like spring, summer, fall, and winter. Those are the seasons.
Summer!
Why do you like summer the most?
Because I like pigs.
Because you like pigs. Good answer.
Pigs are pink, right? Do you like pink?
Yeah.
Maven, I'll drink some of you.
Okay. Two more. Ready? I especially love blank lately. These days, what do you love? What do you love, Bryn?
A little bit
of blank.
Blank means fill in the blank. It can be anything.
Okay,
blank.
Two hands.
Okay.
Oh, Maven is giving Bryn her milk, and she instructed him to use two hands, which is very good. Oh my gosh, your sister gave you her milk? Can you say thank you?
Thank you, Maven. She gave the milk to me.
Bryn, what do you love?
I have zero milk.
Pigs.
Pigs! You guys love pigs, huh? You know you ate pigs for dinner?
What?
Let's not get into it.
I ate pigs.
Yeah, you had sausage.
I ate pigs for dinner. You ate pigs.
You sure did. Sorry, vegetarians. That was saucy. I apologize. All right. April 15th. This is today when we're recording.
I have zero mouth.
You drank all the milk. Yeah, I've Maven.
Because now I have zero mouth.
That's right.
What are you doing?
Maven. Last question. Oh, you discovered that if you yell, the track, you're looking, Bryn is looking at the recording on the computer screen. Seeing that the sound waves are bigger when he screams. All right, one more question. Pay attention to me! No! Maven! Whom do you look up to? Whom do you look up to? Who do you look up? Whom? To whom is it that you look up?
Fart.
Alright, I'm gonna write that down. Poopin'? Okay, you guys are class act. Alright, Bryn, say goodbye to the people. Is there anything you want the people to know before? Maven. All right, it's bedtime. Say goodnight.
This has been another episode of We Knows Parenting, and you know what you're going to do now? You're going to go to weknowsparenting.com. You're going to click on live appearances, and you're going to buy yourself a ticket to our live show next week, assuming you're listening to this the day this comes out, on April 23rd at Littlefield in Brooklyn, and you're going to see the show and then introduce yourself and have a drink with us and hang out, because we got a babysitter and we never get to go out. So we're going to go out. Right, Beth?
That's right.
What else are you plugging?
If you want to submit a question, share a story, give some advice, or ask a parenting hypothetical for the Would You Know segment, you can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 347-384-7396.
And Beth, have a good flight. I'll miss you.
Thank you.
See you and all of our listeners next week. Bye! I died.